All right, we'd like to welcome everyone to Landmark Baptist Church Wednesday prayer meeting. And we'll be in Acts chapter number 24 tonight. This is part 8 of our series, I Can Help You series. And I believe it'll be really good, and I hope you pay attention. And we got several things we're going to mention. We're going to have a quick word of prayer. And Sister Rita's going to sing. And we'll just ask you to pray with us. Father, we thank you for the beautiful day you've given us today to enjoy. We thank you, Father, for blessings that can't be numbered, for multitude. Lord, it just seemed like, Lord, our whole day's been blessed. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church with my wife today at the nursing home. And Lord, that was such a blessing. And Lord, we just pray you'll bless our efforts here tonight. Bless the singing. Bless the preaching of your word. Bless those, Father, that are listening in by way of the live stream and those that will be listening by way of the internet. We want to send a special prayer request out for Sister Judy and Sister Geraldine, both of them struggling, Lord, with their health. And Lord, we've got Brother Mark and Sister Kay hurt. Lord, we pray for those that will be here this coming Sunday, Easter Sunday. Lord, we're looking forward to that service. And Lord, we pray we'll have a bunch of visitors. I pray our members would make an extra effort to not only be here, but bring somebody with them. Lord, I hope we have a good time in the Lord. We're so blessed. We're so thankful. Lord, just pray, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, as a little church, Lord, to do all that we can for the glory and praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, when you come, you'll find us working, find us watching, and Lord, find us witnessing, Lord, to people and telling them the good news that Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. Bless her tonight. We give you praise and glory tonight. In Christ's name we ask it, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead there, Sister Rita.
I'm going to try a little something different today. I'm going to sing with my family. I got the DVD, a CD in over here. I left my phone at work, so I just grabbed one of their CDs. So we sing this song a lot on Sunday morning, Sun Morning Yonder.
Amen.
And I know he really cares.
Yes, glory. their home down here. It's getting where it's about like the Bible says, all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. That's about what it's looking like. But I'm glad heaven is not only better, the Bible says it's far better. Part being Christ, Paul says, far better. Hallelujah. Thank you, Rita. Man, I'll tell you what, if that didn't bless you, woods wet. Something wrong. You need a checkup from a neck up. That's what I'm talking about. Beulah Land. Place that Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He made heaven for us. He made it possible that we could go there. All the price for sin paid at Calvary. And heaven is a gift God gave through His Son Jesus. He that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God has not life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. Good singing there, Sister Rita. I enjoyed that. Amen. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I need to hear about heaven every now and then. I need to be reminded every now and then. That's my home, glory to God. We're at Acts chapter number 24 tonight. And we're going to use Acts 24 to talk about a man that almost got in. And now King Agrippa, he was almost persuaded. But Felix is the one we're going to be talking about tonight. And what he did is he put something off that he shouldn't have put off. And according to the Bible, there's no record of him ever getting that convenient season. Amen. Acts chapter number 24. We'll go ahead and read the chapter. It's only 27 verses. And it says, after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor, that's talking about Felix, against Paul. So here we got a man already ahead of old Paul there, and he's spreading what I call disinformation or fake news or whatever. Verse 2, and when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. Now, he's giving an accusation here to Paul, but he's also kind of buttering up or using some flattery here to Felix here. And, you know, he's kind of putting it on pretty thick here. Verse 3, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. And one thing politicians like, they like to be complimented, and he's kind of buttering up Felix, which he's a governor. Verse 4, notwithstanding that it be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear of us by clemency a few words. And I'll tell you, he done more than a few words here. Verse 5, for we have found this man, talking about Paul, a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also have gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, let's see if I can say his name here, Lysias, came upon us with great violence, took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself may take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these words were so. So you've got the accusation here of Paul to the governor Felix. And remember this Tertullus guy, he's an orator, which means he's a pretty good speaker. Very proficient at speaking and saying things. You know, politicians, they call him having silver tongue. Well, he's kind of a silver tongue, kind of an orator. In verse 10 here, then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself." Now, he didn't butt him up too much, but he did a little bit. He said, they're talking about it being a judge and for many years. And he said, that because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, he's declaring his case right here. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing in all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. And hereunto do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Now after many days I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with the multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee, and object if they had aught against me, or else let the same here say, if they found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I'm called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lystia, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or to come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the offer, and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. We'll stop our reading right there. We're going to comment on several things that we've just read right here. But we want to go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we pray for your blessings upon the words we've just read, the scriptures, Father, that, Lord, we know, Lord, that we ought to give the most earnest heed to. I pray you'll open up tonight and show yourself, Lord, in a way, Lord God, tonight, that no one can speak against the truth. So we're going to try to teach and bring out here tonight these scriptures, Father. We ask for your help and confess our great need of your help, and we give you praise and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Like I said, this is a I Can Help You series, and I can help you. The reason I say I can help you is I'm 100% saved. I mean, it's not I hope I am. I'm not trying to endure to the end. I'm not confused about my salvation. I've got it nailed down with Bible nails, read my Bible through over 20 times. Not only am I 100% saved, but I'm 100% called of God to preach. I may not be able to explain it, but I was there when God called me to preach. I'm still amazed that he would call upon me to handle his word, deliver his messages, but he did. The Bible says, make your call and election sure. I have. And the reason I have, like I said, he called me. And I was there when he did call me. I remember when God called me to preach, I remember saying, Lord, are you sure? And the Bible does say, make it sure. And I've been preaching now for 32 years and been saved now for 36 years. And we're trying to help people to know what it means to be saved, to know somewhat about the Bible, to know somewhat about the things of God. And it takes a while. I didn't hit the ground running. I did hit the ground. And I started as a babe in Christ, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that I might grow thereby. And I took off growing. I growed a little here and I growed a little there. And I kept growing to the stature of the fullness of the stature of Christ. And now I can stand toe-to-toe with the devil. I can give a man an answer, ask me a question of the reason of hope which is in him. Hey, I'm rooted and grounded in the Word. I'm not tossed to and fro. And if you are tossed to and fro, and you don't have no soundness to you, no rock-solid foundation, I advise you to listen even here tonight. This is what we've read right here, Acts chapter number 24. Paul has had an accusation brought against him. I've had accusations brought against me. And maybe you listen here to me tonight. Maybe you've had something lifted up against you. And you can't stop no one from accusing you of things. But one thing you can do is you can give a defense. And Paul's given a defense in what we've read here tonight. But he said people that went before him and accused him of being all kind of things, accused him of being a sect of the Nazarenes, and accused him of being a pestilent fellow, mover of sedition, there in verse number 5, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, and none of that stuff was true, but you can't stop someone from making accusations about you. I had someone to tell my pastor one time that I was out with another woman, and it was true, but that other woman was my daughter. That was what the problem was. When he called me in his office there and said, somebody's seen you with another woman, I said, well, Brother Rick, you're going to have to help me. My pastor's Ricky Prophet. I said, you're going to have to help me because I don't know what you're talking about. He said, don't matter. They seen you with her. After he finally disclosed where they seen me with her, at the Goodwill store, it was my daughter. She wanted to go over there and look around. She lived by herself, and she just wanted to get out. She said, Daddy, if you take me to the Goodwill store, my daughter, a good-looking girl, I took her with me, and her hair started turning a little gray. She had beautiful black hair. But someone seen us and jumped to the wrong conclusion. I can't stop that person from accusing me, but I was able to defend myself. And I told my pastor, I said, Brother Rick, the statement is true, but the woman I was with was my daughter, my oldest daughter. And that's kind of the way Paul is here. These statements they're making about him, they're not true. And they've got a real good speaker here. He's an orator. His name's Tortelius. And he's putting these words up there, and most noble Felix here, he's having to sort all this out. But one thing I noticed in this conversation here, Paul was given the opportunity to speak for himself there in verse number 10, and he's pretty happy about being able to do that. He said, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself because Felix gave him an opportunity to defend himself. And the governor beckoned unto him to speak. And Paul here took advantage of that. And when he mentioned here in his defense, he mentioned about the resurrection here. In verse number 15, he said, and I have hope towards God, which they themselves also know that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and unjust. Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. Best I can tell, just by what I've read here, and also about Felix here in verse 22, is Felix is probably in the category of a Pharisee. Because it says, and Felix, when he heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, and I think that's talking about the resurrection. If you look there in verse 21, except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I'm called in question by you this day. And this verse 22 indicates to me that Felix is of the persuasion of a Pharisee and not the persuasion of a Sadducee. I remember years ago, I remember hearing a preacher saying the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. Well, I'm glad I believe in the resurrection. Amen. And I'm glad I've been confessed. I've been convinced that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. And we'll get to see our loved ones again. We're preaching this coming Sunday on my heavenly family. I've had a lot of family that's departed this life. And of the hope of the gospel, I have a hope, a blessed hope, a glorious hope of seeing all my family again. And like Sister Rita just sung, there'll never be another tear shed. It'll be a happy time. It'll be a glorious time. And we won't need watches no more. We won't need cell phones no more. We won't need calendars no more. The Bible says time will be no more. You'll have all the time. You know, down here we're in such a hurry. I mean, you got people that are running red lights and running stop sign and everything else trying to get where they're going in such a hurry. You can slow down when you get to heaven. But here, Felix having a more perfect understanding. He said having a more perfect knowledge of that way. And it's talking about verse 21, the resurrection. And that's kind of one thing I picked up in what we read here. And because of that, he gave Paul there a little liberty there. Verse 23, he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, but also to let him have liberty. And that's one thing we got in America. We got liberty. Hallelujah. And Paul, he says, not only have liberty, but that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to come or to minister or come unto him. So Felix kind of blessed Paul in this verse 23 here, gave him liberty, allowed him to have, you know, visitation, allowed him to have friends, come spend time with him to minister to him, or come and visit with him. And that's real good. Now, our lesson tonight centers around these next verses here. But before I get in these next verses here, I want to bring out something here real quick. Like I said, there's a lot of accusations here. Paul says in verse 13, they can't prove the things whereof they now accuse us. But in the world of politics, you've always got two sides. You got the right side, and then you got maybe the wrong side, or maybe the confused side. But there's two sides to this audience here with Felix, the governor. One says one thing, one says another. And there's going to be a decision made, and actually don't get made by Felix. He kind of passes the buck. You see that in verse 27, that his time is expired, and Festus comes to take his place there in verse 27. So Felix doesn't even make a decision other than he gave Paul opportunity there to have liberty and have a visitation, have his friends come by and minister to his needs and stuff. But the reason I mention about two sides, I want to bring this up real quick. They've got a House bill, and it's House bill, or H.R. 15, and the House bill is called the Equality Act. Now, please listen to me. This is very pertinent, very important. I'm just kind of slipping it in on this lesson tonight. But I listened on the radio. It was serious enough for me. I pulled the call over, got my ink pen out. And this House bill, number 15, they've already got 213 votes. If they can get 218 votes, they can bypass the House Speaker, which right now is Mike Johnson. They can bypass him and bring it onto the floor and send it on. And let me explain this bill here. Paul's in a dilemma right here. You know, he's kind of at the mercy of the court here. Felix can say this or Felix can say that. And in Paul's case, Felix kind of, you know, took his side a little bit here because they both believed in the resurrection here. But in this House Bill number 15, if they're able to push it through, like I said, it's called the Equality Act. If they're able to push it through, you need to listen, old Brother Eddie, here real good right here. You'll be forced by law. You'll be forced to promote transgender teaching and values. If you decide you don't want to do that, it won't be optional. This will be mandated because of this House bill. You'll be bound by this law, this House bill law. You can look it up online. I read a little bit about it. And remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and they got in that dilemma, either bow or burn? Well, that's where you're going to be when they pass this House bill. I know the last days are perilous times. I'm allergic to pain. But I'm going to prison. There's no way that I'm ever going to condone same-sex marriages. There's no way. I love everybody. I don't care what you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how confused you are about your sexuality. You come in here, I love you, but I'm not going to alter the Word of God. I'm not going to cater to this confusion. God's not author of confusion. I'm not going to author it neither. And you can think you can bind me by passing this law. I'll just go to jail. And all of you out there listening to me, you'll go too. You're not going to be able to speak against this. Now listen to what I'm saying here tonight. I hope I've got your attention. This transgender value bill, the Q covers all categories. And the Q covers MAP, which stands for men attracted to children persons. So that means if you got a pedophile that he wants to come in your church and he wants to get to know your children, you're not going to be able to stop him. See what I'm talking about? How laws... See, Paul here, he's in this dilemma right here. And he's subject to whatever Felix says. God's with Paul. And God gave Paul favor. And before the eyes of Felix, they both believed in the resurrection. That was a big plus to Paul. Well, in our day and time, if you've noticed here lately, by the law, they took Donald Trump, and I'm just using him for example. You do whatever you want to about voting or whatever. But they took Donald Trump to the cleaners. He's done nothing. They've not found him guilty of anything. They don't have to find you guilty. They can do anything that the law allows them to do to you. They can indict you. One of his staff is in prison right now. He tried to appeal that to Supreme Court, denied. The January 6th so-called insurrectionists, none of them been charged. They've been in prison ever since January the 6th, 2021. I'm just telling you, this law is going to bind churches. It's going to bind, not this one. Hey, I'll gladly go to prison. They ain't going to like it when I get there. I'll go. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. And I'm not going to burn. I was telling you, this is on the table right now, coming down your throat, House Bill 15, and it's called the LGB Equal, they call it Equality Act, the LGBTQ Bill, and it will force you to accept this lifestyle. It will force you to promote it. There'll be lawsuits, you lose everything you got. There'll be imprisonments. You know, they put Kim Davis, the county court clerk, they put her in prison. The guys that accused her wasn't even from her area. They came down here just to set her up. But the law forced her to have to go to prison. In this case right here, the law caused you to lose your job, caused you to lose your retirement, cause you to lose your home, your family. This law is what I'm telling you tonight. We need to be mindful of this. Pray that somehow this House Bill 15 will be shot down, that they won't get them 3 votes where they can bypass the House Speaker Mike Johnson. Because if they can shove this thing through, they done tried it once. If they can shove this thing through, you'll find out what it's like to be on the other side, like Paul is right here, to be accused, to be wrongfully accused, and have to give some kind of answer because you believe the Bible, because you think something's wrong, you don't want to accept, you don't want to promote, you don't want to have nothing to do with it. It's coming. It's coming to your doorstep. And this H.R. 15, called the Equality Act, it's coming. And the reason it's coming, just like what come Paul's way. Paul was of the persuasion that he was saved, knew God personally, talked about the resurrection. He saw the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, there in Acts chapter 9. He saw Him. Had to ask Him His name, but He saw Him. All right. Now we'll get back to our lesson tonight. I want to get that through here. Verse 24. Now, Paul has already influenced Felix here in verse number 21. Paul said, "Except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I'm called in question by you this day." Now, that helped Paul because Felix also believed in the resurrection. I believe for that reason, I believe he was a Pharisee. And verse 24, after certain days, now after they've already had this connection, this conversation, Felix has not got away from it. Matter of fact, he's a little bit more interested in what Paul's got to say. So after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, I would encourage, matter of fact, we got a family coming to church this Sunday for the first time. I worked with this guy, a good guy, him and his wife, Ray and Ginger. They're going to come this Sunday, and I'm hoping that they'll get blessed. I'm hoping that they'll get where they need to be with the Lord. One thing about churches do, they help people. We gathered up some money since the people help them, but other people need different kind of help. And Ray and Ginger need that kind of help. They need to get in church. They know they need to get in church. I talked to him on my way up here, and he said, "What time do we need to be there? And give me the address. We want to come." I want him to come. I want her to come. I want all of you to come. It's a little church, but I'll tell you what, you show up, we'll figure out some way. If we have to do like Jesus did with the multitudes, we'll go out there and sit down on the grass. I want you to come. That's our whole goal, is to help people. Well, after certain days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish. And he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Boy, I like that. I like talking to people about my faith in Christ. Well, here Paul got this opportunity here to talk to the governor and the governor's wife concerning his faith or concerning the faith in Christ. Verse 25, now, if you're going to talk to me about my faith, I'm going to be pretty bold, pretty forward, and real honest. So Paul, he didn't sugarcoat. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't sidestep. He didn't use Greek swelling words. He didn't try to go to the Greek or the Hebrew. He said he reasoned of righteousness. Now, when it comes to righteousness, the Bible said there's none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans chapter 3, verse 23. So when Paul mentions about righteousness, maybe Felix thought because that he believed in the resurrection, that maybe he was to some degree a Pharisee, that he had some righteousness. A lot of people are like Felix out there. They think, well, you know, I'm as good as old Eddie Wade is. If he's going to heaven, I am too. I'm not going to heaven by any wage righteousness. I'll tell you that right now. And you're not going to go by your righteousness neither. Paul, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus there in Acts chapter number 9, he threw all his righteousness away. We find that in Philippians chapter number 3. He's talking about his righteousness here. Verse 4, he said, "Though I might have confidence in the flesh," in other words, in himself. He said, in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 3, "If any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh," Paul said, "I got more. I've got so much to confidence or righteous that I could attribute to myself." He says, "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel." So that tells me that he's an Israeli. "Of the tribe of Benjamin." He come out of the Israeli tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So he's got some high credentials right here in verse number 5. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said he could even keep the law. I can't. But he says here he's blameless concerning the law. But verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now listen to this verse 9, because we're talking about righteousness. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, when Paul here is talking to Felix about righteousness, it may have got a little bit personal. Paul may have said, Felix, I know you think you're all right, buddy. Well, let me put it in these terms right here. Here's how righteous you've got to be to go to heaven. If Jesus Christ is standing right here, you got to be as righteous as He is to go to heaven. Now, I can't attain that because there's no sin in Him, no fault in Him. Pilate said, I find no fault. There wasn't none to find. But here's how I can have that righteousness. I didn't bring a coat with me, but Jesus can take His righteousness off, put it over on me, and now I have His righteousness imputed to me. That's why it says, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. I don't have any righteousness. My righteousness is filthy rags. But He gave His righteousness to me by imputation. He put His righteousness on me, and now I'm righteous because of Him. I hope it makes sense. Well, Paul here reasoning with Felix here of righteousness, and Felix probably thought, whoo, didn't see that coming. Then he got temperance. That just means, you know, that you don't get angry. You're quick to forgive. You're easygoing. You know, Christ, when He was reviled, He reviled not back. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, never opened His mouth. Temperance. Temperance means instead of getting out a gun and shooting somebody, you just say, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's what He did on the cross. And if somebody does, I remember when somebody stole a trailer I had one time, when I went out there and seen it gone, the righteousness of God in me and the temperance of God that was in me, I said, Lord, they didn't take it, I give it. And I hope it's a blessing to them. I didn't need it anyway. Temperance means you don't fly off. You don't lose it. You've got a deep, settled peace. Temperance means it's okay. You see, I'm going to heaven. And since I'm going to heaven, I'm not really worried about temporal things down here. I know some people, you know, man, they strain the gnats while the camel. But, I mean, buddy, they'll fight you over just a coin. And mine, mine, mine. We brought nothing in this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. Temperance. Boy, he's easy going. I wasn't until I got saved. I was very confrontational. But now that I'm saved, I can love people. I can love them with the love of Christ. And I have to admit, it's a package deal. When you do get saved, you'll have Christ's righteousness. You'll have Christ's temperance. Somebody will say, boy, there's something different about him. He don't cuss no more. You know, he don't get violent no more. He don't throw things. He don't break things. Got that peace. Got that temperance. When Paul talked with Felix here about righteousness, talked to him about temperance, Felix sitting there thinking, boy, I don't think I've got any of that. And then if that wasn't enough, this last one here, and judgment to come. Boy, that rocked Felix's boat right there. You see, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, says, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You see, right now we're all living on what I'd call borrowed time, which means you don't boast about tomorrow, because tomorrow is yet to be. All you've got's today. Yesterday's gone, and you may not see tomorrow. There'll be people that'll die tonight that thought they had hundreds of years. Maybe they thought they had at least 10 or 20 more years to live and did not know. In Luke chapter 12, verse 20, as a farmer, he's successful. His crops are brought forth plentifully, and all his plans don't include God. He said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns, and I'll bestow all my food, my barns, and say, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years on a problem. That's verse 20. Because God spoke to him in verse 20 and said, thou fool, this night thy soul should be required of thee. And it's not a good wake-up call right there when God says you're a dead man. You're not going to see daylight. Well, here, Felix's boat got rocked a little bit right here when Paul mentioned about judgment to come. If you'll notice, Felix trembled. I can remember when I trembled. When I heard, boy, my preacher preach, and I was a lost man. And I remember trembling, Rita, because I wasn't right with God. I wasn't even nowhere close to right with God. But Felix here, he trembled. And the reason he trembled is because what Paul was saying was true. What Paul was saying, Felix not only knew it to be true, but he also knew he was in trouble. In Genesis chapter 6, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God got me good and lost before God got me good and saved. When Felix trembles right here, that's an indicator of the fact that he knows something ain't right. That he knows he's in trouble. And the sad thing about Felix trembling here is he sidestepped his situation. Felix is in power. Paul is speaking to Felix. In verse 24, said that he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Felix trembles and answers, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Now Felix, trembling, Holy Spirit dealing with him, Word of God has pricked his heart, what Paul has said has prevailed, and Felix, instead of raising up a white flag, saying, I surrender all, Felix, because of the advantage of the fact that he's the governor, and he thinks that he's in charge of this, that he don't have to listen, that he don't have to do nothing. A lot of Felix is out there today. He doesn't do anything with this problem of trembling. He don't do anything with this truth that's been told him. And Felix dismisses it. And Felix tells Paul, go thy way for this time. He thinks he's got plenty of time. Some of you listen to me right now, and you're dismissing what I'm saying here right now. You think you've got plenty of time. Listen, if you're saved, like Sister Rita just sung, you do have plenty of time. But if you're not saved, buddy, you're on borrowed time. You're on thin ice. Felix here, perfect opportunity to give his heart to God. Perfect opportunity to get saved. Felix trembles. Felix, because of the position he's in, he's governor, he's got authority. He's got money, he's got power, so he just dismisses this feeling about trembling, concerning about the righteousness, the temperance, and the judgment to come. He tells Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. He never did call. Nothing else is mentioned about Felix. Felix went to hell. There's a lot of Felixes in hell right now. They're in hell, Rita. Because they thought they had tomorrow. They're in hell because they thought, go thy way for this time. When I've got a more convenient time, I'll call for you and I'll listen to you again and we'll do something about my problem then. The Bible doesn't say tomorrow's the day of salvation. It doesn't say yesterday's the day of salvation. It says today is the day of salvation. And it even gets even more urgent. It says now. Is accepted time. You know, I've got this little cheap watch on right here, and it's got a little old red hand going around there. while that little old red hen's moving, there's people dying right now. There's people right now that have, like Felix here, go that way. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. They're dropping off as that little red hen's moving right now. They thought they had plenty of time. If you're not saved right now, let me tell you how to be saved. It's so simple. Jude called it a common salvation. Paul said many have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Hey, I was lost for 34 years. I know all about being lost. Now that I'm saved, I know all about being saved. Somebody told me one day, said, Eddie, Jesus loves you, Eddie. Because I asked this man, I said, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. What do I need to do? And he said, Eddie, Jesus loves you. He said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you. And I'm saying what he said to me to you, Jesus wants to save you. He said, Eddie, Jesus is just waiting for you to ask him. He gave me the best illustration I ever heard in my life. He said, Eddie, if your little boy had done something wrong, he come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, well, I'd forgive him, Wendell. He said, same way with God. Go to him and tell him you're sorry. I did just that. April 27th, 1988, I couldn't wait till Sunday. This was on a Monday. I went back there to my bedroom and I knelt down there in my bedroom and I still remember the prayer I prayed. I prayed, dear Lord, somebody told me you loved me. Lord, somebody told me that if I would ask you, you'd forgive me my sins and you'd save my soul. And I said, Lord, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me. And lo and behold, immediately, I saved. Peace of God took the place of my condemnation. The joy of being saved, oh, it took the place of all my guilt, all of my, thinking about going to hell, thinking about dying. That joy just offset every bit of that. It was so wonderful to be saved. Listen, if you don't have the peace of God today, that's probably because the Bible says there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There in Isaiah chapter 40. God wants you to have peace. Kind of peace you can pillow your head and sleep like a baby. I sleep like a baby. But listen, until I got saved, I had no peace. I was alienated from the commonwealth of God. I was a stranger. I was walking according to the course of this world. But when I asked Him to save me, and He did. How'd you get it, Brother Eddie? I was asked for it. I didn't do anything. I didn't deserve it. I don't even deserve it now. But Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, He said, all that come to me, I'll in no wise turn away. I got accepted. I got not only accepted, hey, I got born again, gloriously, wondrously saved just for asking. The Lord will do the same for you. He wants you to come live with Him in heaven. You're not going to get to heaven without Him. He's the door of heaven. John 10:9. He's the way to heaven, John 14:6. And there's no other name given under heaven. It's not Mohammed. It's not Harry Kushner. It's not Joseph Smith. It's Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. No other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That name, Jesus. Felix missed it. How did he miss it, Brother Eddie? When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. He underestimated the time he had. He didn't put any urgency upon it. And not only was he replaced as governor, but he didn't make it up. He went down. Reason I know that, not mentioned. Everybody here got saved? It's mentioned. It's rolled down. The last words on Felix, right here. Hey, Paul, go that way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'm in verse 25 of Acts 24. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Sounds simple, don't it? Oh, anytime I want to. You know, when I was a young man, I'll throw this in there, I'm done. When I was a young man, I was 18 years old. My grandfather come up there in my backyard, my godly grandfather, and I put that tall boy, pass me a ribbon, or a brown bottle, pass me a ribbon, bottle behind my back. Here he come. I could see him coming. My grandfather, very godly man, 80 plus years old, couldn't see real good, had glasses real thick, almost round, it's so thick. And he made them tears come down his cheeks look like bowling balls. He walked up to his lost grandson, and he called me Horsefly because he said I worried him to death. He said, Horsefly, I've been praying for you. I sure wish you'd get saved. I'm sitting there thinking, Papa Ed, maybe someday, but not today. I was Felix. And I'm sitting there thinking, maybe when I'm 80 years old, after I've done everything I want to do, maybe then I'll give God what's left over. And I saw my grandfather weep over me. And he told me, he said, Eddie, if you ever change your mind, he said, any day of the week, any hour of the day, you come down here to my house, he said, and I'll personally introduce you to Jesus. Oh, I thought anytime I want to, I can get saved. I was like Felix. Maybe when I've got a convenient time, Papa Ed, I'll call you. Wasn't too long, God called my grandfather home. Didn't call me, he called him. And I got saved afterwards. But you know what? It could have went the other way. God could have said, I gave you opportunity, Horsefly. I sent you, Grandpa up there, your godly grandpa up there, and I'm sitting there with a beer behind my back thinking, maybe someday, Papa Ed, not today. That's what Felix did. He said, when I got a more convenient time, I'll call for you, Paul. He never did call. Maybe you're like Felix. Maybe you think you got plenty of time. God gave Jezebel space to repent, Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. And he went on to say, and she repented not. Is that you tonight? You need to think about what I'm saying, because I can help you if you'll listen to what I'm saying and let God get the reward of his suffering, the joy that was set before him, that he was so willing to endure the shame and the cross, just so you can say you're forgiven, go in peace. You ought to run plumb out of your shoes right now, run to Jesus, lay hold on eternal life, and find out how big a fool you've been. I was 34 years old when I got saved, and what a fool I'd been for 34 years. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to plead tonight with people, Lord, that are in the valley of decision. Lord, they got one foot in hell, and they want to get the other foot in heaven. And there's only one bridge between hell and heaven, that's the cross. And Jesus made that bridge, not like the one that the boat took out, but the one that can never be took away until God pulls it up. And I pray, Lord, for those listening tonight, they're lost. I pray, God, they won't be able to pillow their head tonight because of conviction and because of eternal conscience, Lord. I pray, dear God, Lord, they fall over on the side of their bed like I did. Call upon you, it's rich mercy. I ought to call upon you. And, Lord, get a refuge for their soul. Get their name in the book of life and their sins on the blood. We ask it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for all you do. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.